This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So Terry McLaurin is holding out. Trey Hendrickson is holding out. And Micah Parsons showed up. We will get to expectations for those three teams, because when you have contract disputes, it can impact the team's start to a regular season. I don't think it derails a team's entire season, but it can impact the start of a season. And you kind of look at it, last year, the Bengals had issues with contracts. The Bengals got off to a slow start. Now, I look at the end result of the 49ers, and I know Brandon Ayuk got hurt, but that was a major contract issue, and they eventually got it rectified before the start of the season. But remember, it was... The Niners opened up the season with the Jets, and you had, I know the Niners won the game, but remember you had in that game, Ayuk drop a, I think it was a touchdown. And I want to say it was on the Manning cast, and it was either Manning, Peyton Manning, or Bill Belichick. I think it was the hoodie and Bill, who said, you know, maybe if you spent a little bit more time on the field this offseason, you would have caught that ball. Now, I know that Ayuk got hurt and there was many injuries with the 49ers, but you look at two big contract situations last year, the Niners and the Bengals, both missed the playoffs. So we're sitting here now in the early stages of training camp, with it being July 23rd. Terry McLaurin's not there with the Commanders, and this is the first negative story with the Commanders in a while. You have Trey Hendrickson not showing up with the Bengals, even in an offseason when they figured out to pay both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And then you have Micah Parsons, who's showing up. But Micah Parsons has a back injury right now, right? A convenient back injury. And that's becoming a topic of conversation. I'll ask two questions here before we get into... Like, the second question is going to be, what are the expectations for those three teams this year? The first question I'll ask, Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson, do you think it'd be more effective if you showed up? Now, you're losing money by not showing up. That's why with this new CBA, or the CBA that now we are accustomed to, a lot of times people will just show up and they'll hold in. That's kind of the new formula here. But, so they don't get fined. But for Terry McLaurin, I think you got to separate them. If you're Terry McLaurin, all right, you already spoke, I think it was like a car dealership event or something like that, when he was talking about there's been no progress. But would it behoove him to show face at training camp? And the reason why I would say maybe it would, it's one thing to speak at a car show event, wherever you're at, dealership. It's another thing to be in the building on the practice field and all the media is flocking to you as you're holding court and your teammates are around there, right? Because the GM is not going to budge. The head coach is not going to budge. You would assume that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, they're not going to break character. But if the players see a guy who's done everything right for your organization, not getting treated how they view properly, Maybe then that sets a domino effect off where the player starts speaking out. But maybe that's already being done because of the fact that McLaurin just sounded off a few days ago. And when I say sounded off, you would expect it to be like yelling and freaking out. He was saying it in a very calm way. But he was saying how the talks haven't gone the way that he wanted them, and the talks are basically non-existent. For Trey Hendrickson, I actually think him not showing up actually helps him. And here, it's different. Hendrickson already showed up for one of those days and was very chattery, right? He showed up just to talk to the media. So you already had that. So if you show up to talk to the media again, obviously anything you say, people are going to listen. But does it have the same impact? Does it have the same effect where you already voiced that opinion on the field? By showing up, like the way that I read it, he went to his home in Cincinnati. Talks weren't going the way that he wanted them to go. And now he's in Florida. So if he actually went to Cincinnati, all right, I'm going to give him a last chance. Then they're not going to show up. That's actually a juicier story. With the fact that you already showed up once during one of the offseason programs just a little while ago. I remember playing the audio. And you already went off. So those are the two things I wonder. And there could be different answers for both. I kind of think Terry McLaurin being there would be more effective. For Trey Hendrickson, I think staying home is fine. But a week from now, that could change. Right? If there's no movement, maybe you parachute in one day. Right? Get on the helicopter. Private jet. However you want to get there. And you show back up. So that's Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson. And we'll get to their team expectations in just a second. Micah Parsons. Him showing up is the best thing he could do. You have all the media traveling to Oxnard. He's holding court yesterday with Trayvon Diggs. I'll tell you. After the show yesterday, I went back and I watched a lot of the content yesterday from Oxnard. Micah Parsons just gets it. He gets the content, and he gets what it means to be a Dallas Cowboy. This dude doesn't have his contract figured out. Oh, I got a little back injury going on, but I'm going to grab Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs just had $500,000 taken out of his contract because he didn't rehab enough with the team, and he just did it with his independent therapists and doctors. So I'm going to sit there with Trayvon Diggs, and we're both going to professionally talk about the current situations. And you have all these media that are there that are traveling from all different parts of the country to cover Cowboys training camp. And it was just one after another. Like Jerry starts. Jerry goes after Micah the day before. Jerry goes after Dak. Then up, it's time for Micah Parsons to speak. Micah Parsons discussed the situation. Trayvon Diggs discussed the situation. Nick Harris, who covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I'm sure Dak Prescott has already talked. I'm just going to assume that. And you know what happens when you assume you can make an ass out of you and me? I haven't heard anything, though, from Dak. Like, Micah speaks, you see something. Trayvon Diggs speaks, you see something. Jerry speaks, you see something. I'm curious what Dak thinks about all this. And I think Dak is immune to it at this point, and he's numb to it. Where he got his money, he knows what it means and the responsibilities that it comes to be the quarterback of the organization that Jerry Jones owns. But I am curious to hear Dak's perspective about this. And for whatever it is, I'm sure it's out there on social media. I have not seen anything yet, though, from Dak Prescott. So maybe he has not talked yet. So that's something I will follow up on with Nick Harris when he joins us coming up in about 12 minutes from now as he is at Oxnard for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram covering the Dallas Cowboys. All right. These three contract situations, Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson. I'm going to be honest, folks. I don't have a damn clue what happens there. I know you tune in. You want to hear the talk show host say, hey, this is going to happen. This is what I feel. I'm all in on this or I'm all out. If you tell me Terry McLaurin's on a new team come week one, I wouldn't be surprised. You tell me he's back with the Commanders on a new deal, I wouldn't be surprised. You tell me he's back with the Commanders on no changes to his contract, I would be slightly surprised if he doesn't at least miss a game. I don't think that this just ends with nothing being done and he just shows up and plays week one because he's a good guy. Trey Hendrickson, same thing. You tell me he's playing on the Buffalo Bills week one? Like, I'm just throwing out a random team? Wouldn't be shocked. You tell me they found a way to rectify this situation? Wouldn't be surprised. You tell me, though, he's showing up week one with no changes to the contract? I'd be stunned. Stunned. So, you look at Terry and Trey, I don't know. Micah, I know. He's getting a new deal by week one. And I think they're going to make him wait all the way up until September 4th. I do. I really do. Eagles, Cowboys, opening night. I believe that's still on NBC now with all these changes to the TV, the way that we consume NFL. I'm assuming that it's still on NBC. And as the Eagles are getting ready to show that new banner, Jerry Jones, an hour and a half before the game starts. Yeah. We have come to an agreement with Micah Parsons. Then what happens? I don't even know who's on the studio show anymore for NBC. I don't think it's Maria Taylor anymore. I know she was on last year. I think they actually changed that. Well, regardless, whoever's on there. They're then going to be slobbering and talking all about the Cowboys, the Cowboys, the Cowboys, when it should be a night celebrating the Eagles, because they'll have news to react to with Micah Parsons. Saw with Dak Prescott last year. Now, it wasn't on... The Cowboys weren't playing the first game of the season in terms of the opponent that won the Super Bowl the year before. They weren't playing against the Kansas City Chiefs for that year. But last year, Dallas, whoever they're playing week one on that Sunday, they waited until that Sunday morning to announce that Dak Prescott signed that new contract. So I'll go around the room here real quickly. I'll start off with you, Samter. When we get to the Washington Commanders this year, what are your expectations for the Washington Commanders with the unknown status of Terry McLaurin?
Double-digit wins for sure. Playoffs for sure. Yeah, I would say double-digit wins in playoffs, maybe one playoff win. I don't see him going to the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl again, but if Jaden McDaniels is the real deal and he gets better than he was last year, then they certainly could.
Okay. Stu?
For me, it is just to make the playoffs and just to have Jaden Daniels not take a step back, not have a sophomore slump type of a year.
So obviously, if I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say, hey, my expectations for the Commanders. If I'm just going to give you what I think the realistic expectations should be. Make the postseason again a wild card team, be played in divisional round weekend. Right? And Jaden Daniels still looking like an elite quarterback. That's what I think the low bar expectation is. If I'm going to tell you what I think about this team this year, I think they're missing the playoffs. I think the Commanders are going to regress this year. I think the Commanders are still going to be a 9 or 10 win football team, but with how backed up the NFC is this year and this Terry McLaurin situation having really no end game in sight right now, and I feel very uneasy about this, I kind of think this team's going to miss the postseason. Now, I say that. Let me go through their schedule here. They'll beat the Giants week one. They lose to Green Bay week two. They beat the Raiders in week three. They beat Atlanta in week four. That's three wins. They then lose to the Chargers. They beat the Bears last year on a Hail Mary. Let's say they win that game. They'll split with the Cowboys, so I'll give them one win there. The Chiefs, they'll probably lose. Seattle, I'll say that's a win. Detroit, a loss. Miami, game is not in the U.S. I think that could be a loss. Denver, I'll give them a win there. Minnesota, I'll say it's a loss. Giants, I think they'll beat the Giants twice. Maybe they win one game against Philly, because they end the season in Philly twice, and the Cowboys in between. I'm looking at this team. I think I was at 8 right there, 9, somewhere in there. I think they're going to be, I don't think they'll be 8. Let me be clear. I think they're going to be 9-8, 10-7, and they'll just miss out in the postseason. Because you look at it, Eagles are going to win the division. Let me just say the Lions win the North for now. Tampa Bay wins the South, and then I'll go the Rams, they win the West. If I tell you the Niners, the Packers, and the Vikings, or you want to throw the Bears in there? Or could you see a team like Seattle getting in? I don't want to go delirious and nuts there. Those are teams that could make the postseason. Maybe Dallas? I'm not going to go there. But there are if you're putting the chance of the wild card, it's not inconceivable where the Commanders still are solid at 9-8, 10-7, and they still miss the postseason. That's what I think is going to happen this year with the Commanders. All righty, Trey Hendrickson. I don't feel good about this one. So now with that uncertainty, Samter, what are your expectations? What do you think the Bengals do this year?
The Bengals, I think, are a little bit tougher because they're such an enigma. There's so much talent. It's just a matter of whether or not they can put it together. I don't think the Bengals necessarily need Trey Hendrickson because the strength of that team is on the offense, and they're going to live and die by Joe Burrow. So, again, Bengals, after the last 2 years missing the playoffs, they have to make the playoffs. So that's my big thing. They have to make the playoffs, and I would say probably win at least one game.
Stu?
I was going to say win a playoff game. I think that they have to get to that divisional weekend because obviously you have the big three in the AFC above them, but I think that fourth spot could be anyone's. And I think if you have Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and other great players, this is the year they have to take advantage of it.
They're sexy, and they are a team that they are heavy at the top. You know, star heavy. That's what they are. Joe Burrow, star. Jamar Chase, star. T. Higgins, maybe the best number two wide receiver in the NFL. Trey Hendrickson, when he's on the field, last 2 years, 17.5 sacks. Outside of that, they got some other good players. But there are questions with those players. Like Chase Brown, I think, is a good player. Andre Yosivash, I think, has a good connection with Joe Burrow. You got Gesicki there. You got Orlando Brown Jr. there. Ted Karras is a solid center. Like, you got pieces there. Geno Stone is good in the secondary. Cam Taylor Britt. But really, you got four stars. And then the rest of the team, I'm not saying everyone's bad, but it's okay. There's a big drop-off. I just think they got to make the playoffs this year. And I look at this, and this shows you how deeper the NFC is than the AFC. Like I just told you, the Commanders can miss the playoffs. You look at the AFC, Bills going to win the East. North, I think it's going to be the Ravens. South, I think it's going to be Houston. And then after that, Kansas City's going to win the West. Like, I know the Chargers made the playoffs last year. Just as easily as they made it last year, they can miss it this year. Same thing for the Denver Broncos. You know, who's the second team that you trust in the South? Is it Jacksonville? All right, you look at the AFC North. Bengals are obviously in that. The Browns are going to stink. And the Steelers, I can't feel great about them. And the AFC East, you got the Dolphins. So the NFC, it's like, oh, you make the wild card. You could still have a good season and be on the outside looking in. If the Bengals miss the playoffs this year, that's an embarrassment again. So I think the Bengals are kind of maddened this year. And what I mean by that is I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a team, just like last year, they put up a lot of points, but they get the right breaks this year, and they squeeze in as the 6 or 7 seed in the wild card. Real quickly, expectations for the Cowboys this year. At the end of the year, how we talk about Dallas, and I think the Micah deal gets done by week one.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys, we're talking about them again as a double-digit team.
Whew.
And if not in the playoffs, battling for the playoffs. Like 9-10 wins for sure, and then within that playoff conversation.
All righty, Stu?
I'd say 8 or 9 wins. I don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I think at best they're a fringe wildcard team. They got some star power with CeeDee Lamb, with George Pickens. You got Dak Prescott if he's healthy. Micah Parsons, you know, assuming the contract situation gets done. Their end of the schedule, it is not easy. From week 12 and on, they play the Eagles, the Chiefs, at the Lions, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Commanders, and the Giants. They got to take advantage in the front. And still, the beginning of the schedule, they're at the Eagles. All right, then you play the Giants. Then you play the Bears. Then you play Green Bay tough. Then you're at the Jets. You're at Carolina. You play the Commanders tough. You play the Broncos tough. You play the Cardinals. You got a bye week, and then you're at the Raiders. I think this is a team where they're just on that line. They could be better than what you would expect, but they're just on that line of a game under 500 or a game over 500. I almost do. I think they're an 8 or 9 win team. You know, my gut tells me they'll be a 9-8 team, and they'll just be out in the postseason. We'll get all the rundown and everything that's going down with the Cowboys as they've opened up training camp. Nick Harris, who covers the team for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, will join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oxnard is where it's happening right now, as the Dallas Cowboys have had training camp begin. And man, there's a lot of headlines and a lot of things to catch up on. So let's welcome in Nick Harris. He does a great job covering the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he's kind enough to join us with the practice field right behind him right now. Nick, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Zach. I appreciate you having me.
So let me start you off here with the Micah Parsons situation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this right now. I think all this stuff is a bunch of nonsense right now. This is what the Cowboys do. We just saw it with Dak Prescott. And I think Jerry Jones has a method to his madness here. He is waiting till the first game of the season where he has to be in that building. He has to see that Eagles banner go on up. And I think he's going to wait until that day to cross the T's, dot the I's of Micah Parsons, so that when everyone's tuning into these pregame shows, instead of it just being a slobber fest with the Eagles, there's some Cowboy coverage there. That's what I think is going to happen. Your thoughts?
That's not a bad prediction. And if you call back to last season, that's exactly what happened with Dak Prescott. Got his deal done in the hotel in Cleveland before they went off and beat the Browns. So it's not a terrible prediction. But to kind of give you an insight to the method, to the madness, I guess, we just talked to CeeDee Lamb, who obviously went through this whole ordeal last year with the Joneses, with the front office, with the Cowboys. And he said, I've seen this before. I don't like the negotiating with the media, but that's just what's going on right now. So, you know, it is a method and it is a madness too. We've only been here for 48 hours and there's been plenty of dramatics. And it doesn't look like it's getting resolved anytime soon.
So how about the Trayvon Diggs situation? Is that a bigger deal than what people think? I know they took $500,000 out of his contract because I guess he didn't do his rehab with the team and he did it with his own independent team.
Yeah, correct. So he signed a 9-figure extension 2 summers ago right here in Oxnard in August of 2023. And a clause in that contract required him to show up to at least 84% of offseason activities. It's not an uncommon clause. It's in Dak Prescott's contract, Osa Digizua's contract, and now CeeDee Lamb's. And he knew about it. And whenever he decided to rehab and train away from the team in South Florida, he was docked that $500,000. I was able to ask him yesterday. I said, were you surprised that they actually didn't force it? And he said, yeah. My feelings were kind of hurt. So I think there's definitely some tension between the front office and Trayvon Diggs. You go back to the front office's comments on Monday afternoon talking about Trayvon. They brought up Trayvon on their own. They weren't even asked about it. and said that they want more out of him. They want more leadership out of him. They want him present more. They want him to attack his rehab a little bit better. And then the very next day, Trayvon's going, hey, my rehab has gone fine. I'm actually ahead of schedule. I was surprised that they docked my pay, but I was able to ask him, are you still happy here? Because there was some fan rhetoric that, hey, this might be trending towards a situation where he'll request a trade one of these days. He said, I'm still really happy here. I have my brothers. I have my teammates. That's all that matters to me. So we'll see if he actually ends up stating that case whenever the season does come around and it ends up being the case. But nevertheless, there's some tension here in Oxnard between the two sides.
Yeah, I know what you said about CeeDee Lamb and his comments. And then you see yesterday, right, Micah is there, but he's got this back injury, a.k.a. doesn't have a new contract. And Trayvon Diggs then partners up with Micah Parsons to speak to the media. It's almost like the Cowboys players now know what to expect and the games that go on. And they're kind of fighting on back a little bit because usually it's just Jerry talking. But then Micah and Trayvon to do that as a joint kind of discussion with the media yesterday, I thought was them kind of firing back a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll give them credit because they're trying to beat the Joneses at their own game, which is negotiating with us in the media and trying to, you know, put out their own statement, their own rhetoric about what exactly is going on behind the scenes. And from the Micah standpoint, he said, look, my agent, David Mulligetta, he has reached out to the front office. He is awaiting a call back. He said it's going to take another grown man calling back to get it done. So there are certainly shots on his side as well. We'll see what this eventually ends up being. If you have to ask me, Zach, though, I still think this deal gets done. It's almost mind-numbing at this point talking about it, because both sides know that they want Micah Parsons here. Micah wants to be here, and the Cowboys want him to be one of their leading pass rushers throughout the rest of his career. The contract's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I think all the dramatics in between, it just keeps the headlines going for sure.
Yeah, like I'm not confident that the Terry McLaurin situation gets rectified, Trey Hendrickson as well. I'll be shocked if they don't get a new deal done by the first game of the season with Micah Parsons. And we've just seen this, like last year. It would have made sense for the Cowboys before the offseason started to get the deal done with Dak so they could spread out that number and really go all in last year. Once that didn't happen, Micah's no dummy. Micah knows how to market himself. I think this is what the Jones kind of want to do. They want to make this a dramatic situation. Micah's going to play into it. It's almost as if they're perfect, really, for one another, Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and the one negative that you could look at from the front office's standpoint of continuing to wait and wait and wait, a downside of that is the price tag only gets bigger. We saw TJ Watt get the $41 million per year last week. We assume Trey Hendrickson will probably get around that range if he ups the ante a little bit more. That's just one little domino that's going to continue to fall. But Jerry Jones back earlier this offseason, he said, it doesn't matter what I pay. If I know I want the guy, I'm going to pay whatever it takes. So they're not worried about the price tag at the end of the day. And I think that's the one thing where Micah might have some leverage in getting it done sooner rather than later. But, you know, if I'm looking at it from Micah's perspective too, the team has all the control here. If they want him to play out his final year of his rookie deal, they could do that. They could even tag him going into 26. But again, I still think a deal gets done here.
So he's there now. If they don't get this deal done, even though we both are in lockstep agreement that a deal will get done, can this turn into maybe a Chris Jones situation where come week one, he's in a luxury box and he's not playing. And then the next week they figure out how to rectify this.
Every time we ask, hey, is this eventually going to get to a point to where you potentially hold out? He has continued to say no. He said, I don't think that's where it's going to be heading. He said, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm trying to be around my teammates, help these guys around. They have a really talented edge group. Donovan Ezeraku, the second round pick out of Boston College. Sam Williams is coming back from a torn ACL. They got Dante Fowler in free agency. He said he wants to be around those guys. He wants to figure out how to lead this pass rush group. So, you know, does it eventually lead if we're getting into the season and he's trying to hold out? Maybe that's another question for Micah Parsons at that point. I think if you were to ask him, he expects a deal to get done before then. But I did sense for the first time in these negotiations yesterday that Micah Parsons is doubting that it actually does happen. He said, hey, if this is the end, this is the end. And he said, you know, I'm going to get my market elsewhere. It's still going to work out for me, but I would love to be here with my guys. But I also wonder how much of that is actually negotiating with the media and trying to say, hey, who's to say I might not actually do this deal? So nevertheless, there's a lot of things being said by both sides to the media. Once again, I still think this gets done.
And here's the other thing. If maybe, and I think, right, that is a game in the conversation, a game inside of the game. But the Cowboys then could fire back and say, okay, we don't get this deal done this year. Okay, that's good with us. We'll just tag you the next 2 years. It's not like there's an immediate course of exit for one Micah Parsons.
And they certainly have that right to do so. Now, granted, I would be shocked if they do not use the franchise tag next year on somebody, because they have a lot of expiring contracts with some pretty talented players. You talk about Deron Bland. He's heading into a contract year. Jake Ferguson. They could franchise tag their kicker next year, and Brandon Aubrey. That's a possibility. There's a lot of guys. They might need that tag to use elsewhere. But again, there's a lot of negotiating being had by the front office too in that sense.
So I've seen stuff from Trayvon Diggs. I've seen stuff from Micah Parsons. We know what the Jerry Jones comments were. Just because you pay someone, they could get hurt, right? Basically talking about Micah, and then also, you know, what could happen, and then also Dak Prescott. Have we heard from Dak at all yet in the last 2 days? Because I haven't seen anything on Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak hasn't done his availability during training camp. He typically does it on Thursday, so we should expect to hear from him tomorrow. I am curious to see what his perspective is on both of those situations, with Trayvon Diggs and with Micah Parsons. He's obviously been in Micah's shoes multiple times before, and then he's had a front row seat for the Trayvon shenanigans over the course of the last few days. I'd be curious to get his perspective, but no, we haven't heard from him just yet.
Yeah, my guess is he's going to come on out and say it in a respectful way, because I think also he's someone that just knows how Jerry runs the organization. I don't think anything fazes him anymore. I would assume that not in a crazy way. Dak just says, hey, we got to get this deal done with Mike. And then for the Trayvon situation, I would imagine it's a clause in the contract. You never want to see any player lose money. But, you know, the Cowboys have that right, even though he may not like it.
Yeah, and I can see Dak even taking a route of being like, yeah, look, we're rooting for Trayvon. We want him to get back on the field as soon as possible and get back to his former self. It benefits everybody at the end of the day.
What about Brian Schottenheimer? Like, there's so much going on. A lot of us aren't even talking about a coach who was a controversial hire that Jerry Jones believes in. Well, what's the feel so far around Shoddy?
Yeah, there's a lot of energy at these practices. In fact, I had a Cowboys source walk by me today in practice. He said that the energy is unlike anything we ever had under McCarthy. And I don't think that was necessarily a dig at McCarthy. I think it was more so just lifting up what Schottenheimer has been able to do in the practice environments. I mean, you see it during practice. I mean, the music is always playing. That wasn't necessarily happening under McCarthy. The energy is there. They're high intensity. We've already had a couple fights out here at training camp, which I think if you ask Shoddy, he probably doesn't want that. But I think that speaks to the energy that has really been on display out here in Oxnard. But, you know, the culture has been one of the biggest things he's been trying to build since he got hired. He made an intentional effort to reach out to every single one of his guys every week during the offseason, even when they were not allowed to talk football, and just be like, hey, what's going on in your life? What's going on? You know, you want to catch dinner sometime, this, that, and the third. So, you know, doesn't matter in wins and losses to be determined. But I think at the end of the day, when you're trying to come in and install a belief, I think that's the first step, is trying to instill that culture. Schottenheimer's done a really good job of that. I mean, he's had 25 years of experience as an assistant in this league. He obviously had his dad and his uncle in the league as a head coach and a coordinator, respectively. He knows what works and what doesn't, I think, from a culture standpoint. We'll see if he knows what works from an X's and O's standpoint, too.
Was the culture a problem under McCarthy? Because they won a lot of regular season games under Mike McCarthy, but then come postseason time, they just didn't know how to show up.
Yeah, and I think it depends on who you talk to. Because if you talk to guys like Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or even Micah Parsons, front-facing guys, they would tell you, no, that wasn't a culture problem. I think we just could have been more together in moments like that. But if you maybe talk to some bottom of the roster guys, it was like, yeah, I kind of felt like coach didn't know my name sometimes. So it kind of just depends on who you ask. And I think at the end of the day, you know, those same players that had the negative comments towards the previous regime, they don't have the same things about this current regime. So I think it's more so about connecting and bringing all 90 together at the end of the day.
What about George Pickens? I saw something online today. What was he cramping up during practice? Is there any update there on George Pickens?
Yeah, he went up for a leaping grab on the sideline, and a corner kind of came under and undercut him without pads. And that certainly drew the ire of some of the offensive playmakers. But it was just a calf cramp. It looks like he's fine. He walked off the field. I was able to catch up with him. He said he's fine.
Okay, that's good to hear. When you go to the mentality of a George Pickens, this is a guy that thinks he's an alpha. Clearly the number one wide receiver there, though, is CeeDee Lamb. I'm curious how that relationship is going to be, because the Cowboys could be winning some games if George Pickens doesn't get his targets. We've seen him be his own worst enemy, even though there was a lot working against him in Pittsburgh. It goes both ways. How do you think George is going to take that, where he's looking for a new contract and looking for more money? And there could be some games where obviously CeeDee Lamb is going to get his. The Cowboys could be winning, but he may not be really contributing to the victory in terms of statistical performance.
Man, you could go to Quantico and find the best CIA agent to come in here at Cowboys training camp and get him to try to find one person to say something negative about George Pickens. I don't think you're going to find it. I mean, all intents and purposes, he's given a positive attitude so far. Him and CD have really formed a tight friendship. We've seen it on the field. They already have a celebration that they're working on. We asked CD about that today, and he said, yeah, we've been working on that for the past couple of days, and you'll see it during the season. So as far as their relationship, it seems like it's pretty seamless, and they have been working with Dak quite a bit, even over the offseason when they had that break. Dak took all the pass catchers to a trip out in Georgia. He did it a couple of years ago. He took them to Oregon last year. This time, again, took them back to the Peach State, and just routes on air and then connecting at night over beer or wine or food or whatever. And again, you can't find one negative thing about George Pickens. But the thing that I question, knowing what happened in Pittsburgh with George Pickens, is let's say this team starts 0-2 and Pickens has four receptions in those two games. How does he react to that, A? And then B, how does Schottenheimer potentially react to a disgruntled Pickens? And I think that's going to test a lot of things that they've been building over this offseason. That might end up being the first big test for this team is, you know, how does Schottenheimer handle adversity? It's going to happen at some point. It's a 17-game season, happens for every team. I'm curious to see when that is handled and how it's handled.
What do you expect out of this team this year? Because we were talking about before you jumped on, I think they'll be a team that people at the end of the year go, oh, better than what I thought, but I still think they're like an 8 or a 9-win football team. I think they're either a game below or a game above 500.
Yeah, I see the 7.5 win total in Vegas as their projection. I think they go over that. I have been looking at about a 10-7 sneak into the wild card round type of situation, but it all depends on the health of these guys. If Dak Prescott can't stay healthy for 17 games, that's really going to speak to the conclusion of the year. It goes to Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. Both of those guys were banged up last year. I mean, the injuries that they had last season just really mounted up. And CeeDee Lamb talked about that today. He was asked, hey, what are your goals for the season? He said, I don't like sharing my goals, but I'll give you one. I'm trying to stay healthy for all 17 games. Availability is going to be the biggest thing when it comes to this team's success. And I believe in that. If this team can stay healthy, I think it is a playoff team, but it's not a given. A lot of guys on the wrong side of 30 that are getting older in their career. You know, how does age catch up with these guys?
Here's also one more thing before we let you run, Nick Harris. I think there's a big misnomer with Jerry Jones. A lot of people view him as impatient with coaches and head coaches. I think he is extremely patient. We saw the whole Jason Garrett situation. You know, Mike McCarthy, it was a contractual thing at the end of the day, and egos got in the way. But there's been some questions like, could Schottenheimer be one and done? And right, you have all those rumors about Nick Saban and, you know, Belichick now, you know, being back in college, and Coach Prime's never going to go away. And the Cowboys are always used, and right, people throw out those names, and I understand why they do it. There's no way here that Schottenheimer's one and done, right, with the Cowboys.
Someone asked me yesterday, one of my media folks, he said, what if this team goes 3-14? Do they dip on Schottenheimer? And I said, no, because Jerry does not like paying a coach that is not actually coaching. He signed a 4-year contract. He's going to live out that 4-year contract. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Jerry has said it multiple times. If I'm going to pay a buyout for a guy, it better be for a damn good reason. And so, I don't know. Maybe a 3-14. Maybe I'd have to put my money where my mouth is. But overall, Schottenheimer's here for the long haul. And I think if you talk to the front office, you talk to people behind the scenes, there's a lot of excitement about what Schottenheimer is building. I think more so than what is outside of the building. You know, we'll see when the time comes, though. X's and O's are going to be the biggest part of it to Schottenheimer's success.
He's Nick Harris. He does a great job covering the Dallas Cowboys, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Nick, appreciate you joining us and carving out some time.
Appreciate it, Zach. Y'all have a good one.
You got it. There he is, Nick Harris, one of the best covering the Dallas Cowboys. We will take a timeout. One more segment to play. We got to ask the pros question coming your way next. Update time first. All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question today, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm actually going to do two today, and you could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Chris Fields on Twitter says, Zach, hashtag ask the pros, if the Big Ten or ACC is as elite as the SEC, how come people don't hold teams in the Big Ten to the same winning standards as an LSU or Alabama to every year it's Natty or bust, but instead, if it's Iowa, Purdue, or even Indiana, getting a 9-3 season is viewed as a success? This question makes no sense to me. All right. And I've seen Chris in the YouTube chat. You got no problem with Chris, but he's a sensitive SEC fan. And he is blowing out of proportion what I said. All I said was that the SEC and the Big Ten are now basically the same. And the last 2 years since the Big Ten has won the national championship, they could claim that they're better. Do I eventually expect the pendulum to swing where the SEC can take the claim back? Yes. And then the Big Ten will take it back a few years from now. But I don't understand bringing the ACC into this. I've made it abundantly clear. College football is the Big Ten up against the SEC. They're playing for the number one spot. They're playing for who's the best conference, who's the second best conference. Then it's the ACC and the Big 12 to determine who's the third best conference or the fourth best conference. So forget the ACC. Now, you're using Iowa, Purdue, or Indiana. Why don't they have championship or bust expectations? Because no one thinks they're ever going to win the championship. Just like how no one thinks Ole Miss is ever going to win the championship in the SEC. Or a Mississippi State. Right? There's different sectors, even in a great conference. And you know what's crazy here? I say one positive thing about the Big Ten, and people think I'm anti-SEC. I love the SEC. And do people say that LSU is championship or bust? They've won three national championships since 2000. But people aren't saying that right now. Now, you say Alabama, yeah, people have championship or bust expectations. When Nick Saban was their coach. But if you're going to throw a school out there like Alabama, compare apples to apples. Alabama has a similar standard to Ohio State where it's championship or bust. Or in Oregon. There's different layers of here. But to just throw out like Iowa, Purdue, or even Indiana when they go like 9-3, that we don't view them as championship or bust because they outkick their coverage. Just like other schools in the SEC that end up doing better than what you think. So I don't understand this question whatsoever outside of they're sensitive SEC fans and sensitive Big Ten fans. And here's the difference why there's so much sensitivity with both. Because the SEC thinks they're the best. The Big Ten thinks they're the best. And guess what? As I said in the open, and I made it abundantly clear, you guys are very similar. All right? Like, what are we doing here? So this is how I respond to Chris. You know, let me just pull up the SEC real quickly so we could do a complete apples-to-apples comparison here. When you take a glance at the SEC, if I was to say to you that inside the SEC, like Missouri and Indiana, right? Does Missouri get praised and they go win 9-10 games? Yeah. Does anyone sit there and say, oh, Missouri, you championship or bust? No. So it's the same thing for Indiana. But if I throw a school out there like Texas is here, it's championship or bust. Just like how Ohio State, you could say championship or bust. You know, but like if Auburn wins 9 games this year, are you going to be killing Auburn? Because Auburn didn't win a championship? No. Just like how if somehow Michigan State won 9 games this year, no one's going to hold them to a championship or bust expectation. There's different sectors. Like Ohio State, when Michigan had Harbaugh, they're like right when they were getting things back on track, they're championship or bust. Just got Alabama and Georgia, championship or bust. But if Florida this year goes 9-3 and makes college football playoff, we're going to be like, oh, they didn't win a national championship? No. What are we doing here? Now, the other Ask the Pros question that I got was actually from Psych Manther, Moist Mike ISN on Twitter. It was one of the best Twitter accounts around. I know you like Michigan and Temple, and Mike Samter likes ASU, and Stu likes Notre Dame, and Cush. That's what he wrote. But are there any group of five schools you guys might be fans of or at least root for? Well, Temple would be a group of five school, so I'll take them out of it. I also do tend to root for Nebraska now, even though that's some problems with Michigan and Nebraska because I'm a fan of Matt Rule. But if I had to take Temple out of it, my favorite group of five school is Boise State. It's, you know, when you look at their history with all their coaches and all the, you know, the Fiesta Bowl, and what they did last year with also Ash and Jenty, right? Even going back to when you had the Ian Johnson and the proposal and the Statue of Liberty gear and all that. It was awesome. Awesome. So I would say Boise. Stu, who's your favorite group of five school? Do you have one?
Yes, I would say Florida International because I've used them in college football and built them into basically the kings of college football.
Didn't you just restart that with the new game
yes.
that came out?
Temple.
Oh, you're coaching the Owls.
I am coaching the Owls. We won the national championship in year three.
Don't be expecting me. Wait, you won the national championship at Temple?
Won the national championship year three.
Okay. I was going to say, don't be expecting an NIL donation from me. Don't be expecting a Venmo for your video game. So have you moved on from Temple?
No, I'm staying there.
You're staying there?
I like building these teams up into powerhouses and staying there instead of moving to another
school.
Have
you been offered from like an Alabama or an LSU, like one of these creme de la
creme
schools?
Nothing crazy. I think Louisville was the best job offer I got.
You win a national championship at Temple. You can't get an offer from like Michigan or Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying. Dabo got fired too. You'd think I'd get Clemson or something.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy. Samter, who's your favorite group of five school?
Man, I mean, I guess if you still count Oregon State and Washington State, I'll go with those guys. I'll go Oregon State, the Beavers.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that just because of all those years with them being...
They're not the enemy anymore.
Still in the Pac-12, but yeah, the Pac-12's not a...
Maybe Navy.
Not part of the Core Four anymore.
Let's go Navy, too.
Okay. All righty. That will do it for the Zach Gelb Show today. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Samter, Stu, thank you. Big thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in, however you do consume us. And also like to thank Nick Harris for joining us. I'm Mike Norvell. We'll talk manana, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.